to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. This week, diabetes prevention.
Okay. Greetings and salutations, my friends. You're listening to Wellness Wednesday, hosted by the YKHC Diabetes Prevention and Control Department. And our topic of discussion today is vaccines and diabetes. But to give you a little brief overview, diabetes is a disease that causes our bodies to not use sugar as intended. And over time, this excessive amount of sugar that can stay in our blood can affect our bodies in many different ways. By contributing to heart disease, which can lead to heart attack or stroke or kidney disease and other things like high blood pressure and other diseases that can happen over time. There are several different types of diabetes. First one, there is type 1, which is used to be known as juvenile diabetes. Mainly it affects children or young adults. That's where the pancreas is. When you're born, your pancreas is not able to produce any thing called insulin, which is the hormone that helps us process and use sugar from the foods that we eat. And in order to treat or manage diabetes with type 1, you would need to take daily injections of insulin because your body doesn't produce any of it itself. And there is another type called type 2 diabetes that is a lot more prevalent, and that is where it used to be called adult onset diabetes, and this usually affects people that are 45 years of age or older, and that's because of the type of lifestyle that we may be living. You know, if we're physically inactive or the types of foods that we're eating, you know, or drinking, i.e. sugary sweetened beverages like a lot of soda, juice, or some of those other high sugar drinks like energy drinks. If you're drinking those consistently, it is putting your body on overload, and it's working, your pancreas is working really hard to produce enough insulin to use all of that sugar that you're putting into your body. And over time, your pancreas will start to get tired, and it will either slow down the production of insulin, or the insulin that can be produced is damaged or broken, and or the cells themselves are resistant to the insulin that your body is producing. So the ways that you would manage the type 2 diabetes is by, you know, managing the, or by taking care of what you're putting into your body and how much exercise you're doing. Just by losing about 10 pounds or 10% of your current body weight can reduce your risks of developing type 2 diabetes significantly, or help you manage the amount of sugar in your blood a lot more easily. There are also some other types of diabetes. One of them is gestational, which affects women who are pregnant. And when you receive that diagnosis, both the mother and the child is at risk of developing type 2 diabetes later on in life. And it should be monitored yearly for the mom. And if you've ever been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes or gestational diabetes, and you haven't had a visit to manage or check on it, just call your local clinic, your health aide, and say, hey, I haven't received any updates on this. Do you mind if I get an appointment to get my blood work looked at and all that? Or if you have any questions about diabetes in general, feel free to give the diabetes department a call at 907-543-6133. We'd be more than happy to answer any questions you may have. So, to go on to the topic for our discussion, we have the YKHC's Well-Child and Immunization Coordinator, Julie Johnson, here. And before we go into that, if you guys or any listeners have any questions or comments regarding our show today, feel free to give us a call at the KYK radio station at 543-5985, 543-2756, or 1-800-995-8954. So feel free to give us a call, and we'd love to hear from you today. Anyway, in the studio with me, Julie Johnson, would you mind telling myself and our listeners, what is your role over at YKHC?
Okay. Hi. Good morning, Ray, and good morning, listeners. My name is Julie Johnson. I am the Well Child and Immunization Coordinator for YKHC. My department is responsible for making sure that the communities of the YK Delta are protected from preventable disease. My team is really made up of, we're a small team. We have about five people that sit on the team. And so collectively, we make sure that when we're receiving the vaccines, that they're safe to give. And we also monitor vaccines from the time we receive them until the time we turn around and send them out to our village clinics to make sure that they're also safe for our communities and the smaller locations. Some of the we also work with a lot of our providers and our local community organizations to host community events. So, for example, this past Saturday we had the flu clinic during the Saturday market, and we also have another clinic coming up December 19th, 20th, and 21st. That's going to be over at the foyer of YK Hospital. So you can come on in, you can get your flu shot. You don't have to make an appointment. It is free of charge. And that will be going on December 19th, 20th, 21st from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. In addition to hosting or partnering with local community organizations and the providers for YK, we also manage the Reach Out and Read program. So parents, if you've ever taken your child to for a checkup or have gone for a well child visit and received a book, so we like to encourage literacy as well through that program, through the Reach Out and Read program. So that's a little bit about what my team and I do here in the Delta.
Thank you, Julie. So that brings us kind of to our discussion. I did a brief little introduction to what diabetes is. I didn't really mention any symptoms mm-hmm. or causes of diabetes. Mm-hmm. So some symptoms that somebody may be having for diabetes is increased thirst and increased hunger. The increased thirst can be because the amount of sugar in your blood is causing you to be slightly more dehydrated, and you're like, man, I'm thirsty all the time. So you're drinking more, and the hunger is because our cells are using the sugar for energy. But if that sugar isn't being absorbed by our cells, our body is in a perpetual state of like, man, why I'm hungry? Why aren't you eating anything? Even though you're eating regular meals and you're wondering why you're hungry all the time. So another thing that because of this high amount of sugar in our blood, it can compromise our immune system or make us more susceptible to illnesses and things like that. So I would want to know exactly, why are some vaccines important, or why are vaccines important, not just some?
Mm-hmm. Well, vaccines are important because they keep you safe and protected from preventable disease. And so more specifically for community members who have diabetes, their bodies are more susceptible to disease than just your everyday average person who is in a good state of health. And so we encourage people to make sure that they are caught up with their caught up on their vaccines.
Okay. So what kind of vaccines may those be, or what are some of the more common vaccine types that we get?
Okay. So, well, since we are in the midst of flu season, I I will discuss that just a little bit. But as we all know at this during this season, we are in the midst of flu season. And because we have people that have diabetes are considered part of a vulnerable population, as is your children who are 5 and younger, and your seniors are often looked at as folks, a vulnerable population who are more susceptible to disease. We recommend that you are getting your annual flu shot to keep you safe and protected from that disease. And just to give you a little bit of information, I'm sure last year, if you can recall, during the 2017-18 flu season, the flu activity was high. We saw an increased amount of hospitalizations. We also saw a lot of deaths from flu because there were because people chose not to get vaccinated against the flu. So that is one of the vaccines that we highly encourage. It's a annual vaccine. It cannot prevent you from getting the flu, but it can lessen the symptoms of getting the flu should you come in contact with someone who has the flu or is displaying those flu-like symptoms, which would be a runny nose, fever, coughing, sneezing. And more importantly, so as we are now in the holiday season and we have family traveling from pretty much all over the states coming to visit us, or we're traveling, you're coming in contact with people who you may not normally come in contact with, and they may not even know that they're sick. And then you pass by them, they cough, you happen to be inhaling at the same time, or you touch a handle that someone else has touched and wipe your face, and then you just and you can catch it that way. So we just want to encourage you to go and get your flu shot. Mm-hmm. One of the other vaccines that's really important for our seniors is the Shingrix, which is the zoster vaccine. It helps prevent the adult shingles. And so, you know, you want to just stay on top of your vaccine. So those are just a couple of examples of vaccines that keep us safe from preventable disease.
Thanks. So you did mention, you know, people are traveling, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, sneezing, all that. Another way that people may end up getting sick is because of the food, mm-hmm. you know, that somebody may be preparing for us. And we live in a day and age where a lot of the food that we get is prepared by somebody else, i.e. fast food, stuff mm-hmm. by McDonald's, Burger King, or going out to eat. Mm-hmm. We are never entirely too sure what the cook or the person bringing our food is feeling, because some people may be having asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. And I guess that means, you know, they are exhibiting no symptoms of carrying this illness or disease. And I think there's somebody in history that is very that, you know, this is attributed to. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if our listeners have ever heard of this person before, but Typhoid Mary.
Absolutely.
Do you want to share a little bit about Typhoid Mary, or should I?
we can speak together on that. Right. But Typhoid Mary was actually a cook who prepared meals for several different families throughout the years, and wherever she went, even though she didn't have any signs or symptoms of having typhoid fever, mm-hmm. everyone that she served ended up becoming very sick. So, and that happened over the course of some years. And so if you want to give a little bit more detail, but that's really the gist of Typhoid Mary, and someone who can, as someone who can have a disease and not show any signs or symptoms, who, you know, lives, I mean, just to the naked eye would appear as if she is, you know, just healthy.
Mm-hmm. And if, you know, so just to give some context, she was a cook from 1900 to about 1915. But throughout that entire year, or those years, mm-hmm. She had to keep traveling because the people she kept cooking for mm-hmm. these families, they ended up getting sick. You know, it's not like a lot of people died from it, but mm-hmm. they just ended up getting very sick because typhoid fever. But she spent the rest of her life after 1950 in quarantine because she was too much of a health risk to people, you know, mm-hmm. and it wasn't, you know, until like later on in life where she finally became an advocate for, mm-hmm. What was it, getting tested or...
encouraging others.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So she, she did live in exile for quite some time. And so even she herself never believed that she was sick, because she did not feel sick. She did not look mm-hmm. sick. So, you know, she was kind of aggravated a little bit when the authorities came after her. She said, "No, you know, I'm not sick. What are you talking about?" But, you know, it's just an example of how things can happen. Unintentional things can happen. And through protecting ourselves with being vaccinated, you know, incidences like that can now be avoided.
Yes. And that kind of brings us to this next point is, you know, over the years, and I've been seeing it more and more, mm-hmm. is there's a lot of misinterpretation or misinformation being spread about vaccines in mm-hmm. today's society. And, you know, that's kind of like that anti-vaccination mm-hmm. movement. But, you know, there are people like Typhoid Mary out there that could be carrying, you know, measles, mumps, polio, things like that. Mm-hmm. And if you are not getting the vaccines for any of these things, it can start a whole new outbreak that can potentially be more dangerous than the mm-hmm. Diseases that we eradicated, you know, 100 years ago or, 50 mm-hmm. years ago mm-hmm. and things like that. So... what are some other myths or misinformation that people are, you know, finding on the internet? And just so you know, when I was doing some research, I came across a website mm-hmm. that was very convincing, you know, that it looked professional. It looked like a medical care website. And I was reading things about the MMR vaccine causing type 1 diabetes because the it was quote unquote making the body more go into an autoimmune disorder where it was attacking the pancreas somehow, which then led to the pancreas not producing insulin. And the way it was presented was very believable. I'm like, oh my gosh, I did not know that. Mm-hmm. And then the thinking part of my brain went in. I'm like, you know, I don't see any sources cited here. Usually when you're reading a legit government website, mm-hmm. or even just a peer-reviewed website, mm-hmm. there will be sources for where they got that information.
Absolutely.
So I did some more digging, mm-hmm. and it didn't take much, you know, like, mm-hmm. And there have been quite a few cases since the 90s that have said, no, there is no correlation between receiving vaccines mm-hmm. and developing type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that there's a lot more mm-hmm. of these other myths out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are lots of myths out there. I know another platform that's used to share information that's not scientifically sound is Facebook. A lot of, it's quick information. It grabs your attention. It looks really good. But like you said, there's no kind of supporting evidence or any type of references. So I always liked to recommend to community members that I come in contact with, you know, hey, if you don't believe what I'm saying, these are two websites you can go to that are scientifically sound. One would be the Center for Disease Control, so that's your cdc.gov, and then there's the Immunization Action Coalition. So they have information out there for parents, just for general population that may be looking for a little bit more information about vaccines, or even and there's even information on about the connection between vaccines and diabetes on there as well. So I do like to share that. Some of the common myths that I have come across is the connection between autism and vaccines. And so I think I can say that there has been no scientifically sound evidence or research that I've seen that really connects the two. I mean, there have been lots and lots of research studies done on the connection between vaccines and autism. And the result is that there really is not a connection. But one of the associations I think that need to be broken is that most of the time, autism will typically, the signs of an autistic child will typically start to develop around that second or third year of life, which is also when a child has started to receive their, for example, MMR shot. That's your measles, mumps, and rubella. And so it just happens to be a timing sequence, but the connection between the vaccines and that particular condition, there has been no scientifically sound research that I have come across on that. Another myth that I've seen is I've heard people say, well, every time I get the flu shot, I always get sick. So the flu shot is made really from an inactivated virus and cannot transmit infection. So most of the time, people who get sick after receiving the flu shot were probably going to get sick anyway. Once you receive the flu shot, it takes about a week or two to be fully vaccinated and protected. So oftentimes people will associate the fact that they've gotten the flu shot and now they're sick. And they say, well, I get sick anyway, so I'm not going to take it. When in actuality, if you get your flu shot on a Tuesday and you're sick on Wednesday, you were probably going to get sick already.
Yeah, because a lot of these illnesses, you know, they kind of live in your body for 1 to 2 weeks, even before you start showing any symptoms.
Signs or symptoms, yes, mm-hmm. absolutely right. And so there's also that window where even though you've had your shot, you are still open and vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some other things that came up for myths or scare tactics of anti-vax people is that the vaccines we're injecting into ourselves have mm-hmm. mercury in them, aluminum, mm-hmm. and formaldehyde. Mm-hmm. Do you want to share any information on those?
There have been some concerns over the formaldehyde, mercury, and aluminum in vaccines. And it is true that those chemicals are toxic, but in the vaccines, they are not necessarily in the vaccines. They're throughout the process. Toxins sometimes have some stabilizing effects that actually make the vaccine safe. So, for example, the connection, more specifically, it's like a thimerosal, which is used, which is a mercury-based. The thimerosal on the multi-dose vials are really used to prevent bacteria from growing so that you don't get back a bad bacteria inside of the vaccine vial. So the amounts that are used are not harmful at all. So we naturally produce formaldehyde. There's formaldehyde in everyday household items that we use, yet we still continue to use those items. And so while there may be throughout the process and in historically those toxins have been used, we're no longer using those things today. And so there still is that association that there are these harmful toxins within the vaccines that we are encouraging community members to receive. Another note that's good to know is that vaccines, before they're introduced to the public, go through an extensive amount of research. They have to be approved by the Food and Drug Administration. Before they're introduced to the public, they go through a series and years of clinical trials. And so by the time they reach the general public, they have been deemed safe for use.
That's very good to know. And, you know, I don't want to throw any shade there, but a lot of the essential oils or things that mm-hmm. are that I'm seeing pop up a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot of these products haven't been approved by the FDA, and people are recommending these products on, you mm-hmm. know, social platforms like Facebook, mm-hmm. and it can be very dangerous because mm-hmm. you don't exactly know how some of these mm-hmm. Non-approved items are going to interact with mm-hmm. any current medication somebody may be taking mm-hmm. or how it could even react with your own immune system or mm-hmm. Your mm-hmm. body. And it's a little scary at times.
Yeah, it is a little scary. And look, and we don't want to bash Facebook, but Facebook gives anyone a platform. It gives anyone an audience to put whatever they want to put. So we have access to information that we normally would not have had access to in the past, and it's readily available. And so while there is some really good information on Facebook as well, but what we want to do is encourage you to if you see information on Facebook about immunizations or vaccines or the connection between diabetes and vaccines, what you really want to do is make sure that there are listed references there and go and check it out for yourself to make sure that what you're reading is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, recently we just had the romaine lettuce, E. coli,
yes,
things like that. And that information was pushed out by the CDC, and people immediately said, yes, this is true. You know, mm-hmm. throughout all the romaine lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have the same organization, the CDC, saying that a lot of these vaccines or things that can help us fight or, mm-hmm. you know, stop preventable diseases from occurring, they were like, nah, we don't know if we believe you. It just doesn't make mm-hmm. any sense to me.
Yeah.
And that, you know, kind of brings us into the... you know, some preventable infectious diseases that are starting to show up again in mm-hmm. our society. And some of these, you know, we eradicated them in like the 1950s. You know, like polio mm-hmm. is one of the things that comes to mind that is, and I did some research mm-hmm. into it. We're starting to see some polio-like symptoms over in Europe coming in, and a lot of that is due to mm-hmm. people going into a false, I don't want to say false sense of security, but something similar to that is, you know, if we're not vaccinating against it mm-hmm. Anymore, we're making those viruses stronger, kind of like... when you're taking antibiotics, your mm-hmm. provider always tells you to, hey, you got to finish this entire dosing of antibiotics. Otherwise, even if you are feeling better, because the bacteria that is not killed by your antibiotics can end up making that thing stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't fight that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like... an ebb and flow, if you will, you know. Mm-hmm. So we have the antibiotic that, you know, if you don't take it, then the virus will get a little stronger. It's just kind of, I guess, what am I trying to say? Like a nature mm-hmm. type.
Yeah.
You know,
man versus nature.
Yeah, maybe so. Man versus nature. But in terms of I guess the resurrection of illnesses that we've seen. I know last year here, I believe we had a bit of a mumps scare, and not necessarily here in Bethel, but throughout the lower 48, and I believe there was a situation on one of the cruise lines, and come to find out, you know, it was because this child was not protected, and so just through travel and being in contact with other people was susceptible to this, to that disease.
Yeah, because when you're traveling, going through airports and all that,
mm-hmm.
You know, you can be coming across people that are like Typhoid Mary.
That's right.
Completely asymptomatic of any of the diseases that they may be carrying. You know, people returning from school, mm-hmm. going on holidays,
mm-hmm.
or coming back from mm-hmm. holidays or vacation, you know, going down to Disney World where thousands upon thousands of people are congregating from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're being exposed to all these different pathogens or something that people, you know, over in a different country that, oh, yeah, we have immunity against that because that's in their area. But if they come back to a new area where we don't have the same immune response to it,
mm-hmm.
it can end up making us very sick. So knowing this, you know, doing the most that we can by, you know, getting people their vaccines on a regular basis, mm-hmm. or getting the booster shots when recommended, you know, can help prevent some of this. So that mumps thing you're talking about, there was an outbreak, you know, there's outbreaks every year, but mm-hmm. The one from 2017, there's over 6,000 people that have been diagnosed with mumps, and it is a preventable infectious disease through vaccines. And currently, as of November 3rd, 2018, there are about 2,000 people or 2,000 cases of mumps. And as for measles, which is another thing that, you know, was wiping out a lot of our population back in the day, mm-hmm. And then we figured out the vaccine. We're like, all right, we know a way to defeat this. Completely eradicated it for a while, but once people felt like, oh, we don't necessarily need that anymore, it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. It's still out there. We're trying to immune ourselves to this mm-hmm. Virus or disease, so that's why we do the vaccine. But there have been 220 cases of measles as of November 23rd, 2018, in 26 states and Washington, D.C. So, you know, if our listeners have any questions about the about vaccines in general, you know, talk to your health aide. Call the hospital and talk, make an appointment with your provider, and also do some research yourself when you get those mm-hmm. that headline news article that mm-hmm. you don't necessarily click on. You just read the mm-hmm. attention grabber mm-hmm. headline and think that something may be an issue, and mm-hmm. you spread that by clicking share on Facebook or whatever other mm-hmm. social media platform you use without mm-hmm. actually taking a step back and say, okay, is the information that I am looking at indeed true? Mm-hmm. It's a quick Google search. It takes mm-hmm. about 2 minutes of your time. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. And one thing that I did want to add, also when you are going to get vaccinated, you should be receiving your vaccine information sheet that gives you information about the vaccines that you're receiving. It will, and so it will tell you kind of, it will give you some background information on what the vaccine is preventing. It will also give you information on what to expect. So a lot of times when you get vaccines, some of the common things that you should see, there may be a little redness, there may be a little soreness. All of that is very normal. There may be, in some cases, a slight fever. It also gives you information on, you know, what you should what to do if the if there is like an extended amount of redness or things like that. So it's your vaccine information sheet. It's a very useful tool, and you should be receiving that when you do go and get your vaccines. And so you can also use that as a resource. And that information does come from the Center for Disease Control. So if you're thinking about going to get vaccines as a result of listening to Ray and I, and you want to do a little research, you can go to the Center for Disease Control, look up vaccine information sheet or VIS. And it's just a one pager that will give you some really good scientifically sound information. And it's a really quick read.
Thank you. So we had gone over the different types of vaccines on how, even on a year-to-year basis, we're continuing to improve the vaccines mm-hmm. that we have. You had mentioned earlier in some of our talks that they've brought down, you know, multiple shots into mm-hmm. at least one. Do you want to explain some of that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. you know, some of the anti-vaxxers will show pictures of a baby with tons and tons of needles. And I think that was one of the little posters that we saw, with tons and tons of needles sticking in his or her little baby arm. But the children or babies are not given 30 vaccine or 30 shots in one visit. Immunizations happen over time. Some immunizations only require one dose. Some immunizations require multiple doses. And so there's a series. But in an effort to reduce the amount of needles that a child receives in terms of their vaccination course, we do have some vaccines that have been combined with other vaccines. So your baby may actually be getting being protected against three different preventable diseases, but it comes in the form of one shot.
Like the MMR vaccine, I would assume. That's measles,
mumps, and rubella. Another more one that is your Pediarix vaccine, which is a combination of the Hep B, your DTaP, and IPV. And the DTaP is just your diphtheria. It protects you against the diphtheria and the pertussis. And so as we progress, I'm sure there will be other combination vaccines along the way in an effort to decrease the amount of needles that are needed, or pokes, if you will.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So some of the other things that I have here, just to give our listeners some context.
Okay.
Or not context. I have a history of vaccines type thing. Interested when coming up with this topic of discussion, I was looking into the history, and people have been inoculating themselves against certain diseases or infectious diseases for a long time.
Yes, for thousands of years.
Thousands of years. And I want to say that we have come a long way from the way that they were inoculating themselves back then. But one of the earliest, like, recorded symptoms, like written word, was done by Hippocrates. And Hippocrates was a Greek physician born in 460 BC, which is, you know, about 2,400 years ago, you know, and some change. And he is considered to be the founder of Western medicine. So what he had done was recorded symptoms of mumps, diphtheria, malaria, tetanus, and all this. They didn't quite have, like, the names of these diseases or exactly how it progressed, but being able to recognize the different symptoms of, like, I think, you know, is definitely a big milestone. And he was recording that as early as 400 BC. And another really interesting thing, when I mentioned inoculating, and we've come a long way from that, is some studies show that the Chinese have been inoculating themselves from smallpox as far as 1000 BC, which is about 3000 years ago. That is a long time to be like, hey, we noticed that this there's this thing going around that's wiping out our population. What are ways that we can do to combat that? They didn't quite have injections or a lot of the science behind it as we do now. They were taking scabs from the people infected with smallpox, crushing it up into a very, very fine powder, and inhaling that through their nose. So, you know, a lot of the Chinese upper or higher class citizens were making themselves inoculated in this mm-hmm. way. You know, I don't know what the success rate of that is, mm-hmm. how well that actually prepared their bodies, but for some people mm-hmm. it worked. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they were able to pass on some of these antibodies that can fight that disease. Mm-hmm. And that kind of brings me into my next topic, next little soapbox in our line of work over at Diabetes and a lot of healthcare organizations. We encourage mothers to be breastfeeding their children because not only is it a great source of nutrition for mm-hmm. your child, it is also a great source of immune response. Mm-hmm. You're helping your baby fight any local infections mm-hmm. of your area because you, as the mother, are already immune to some of those, mm-hmm. and you're able to pass that through the breast milk. So if some mothers are, or soon-to-be mothers are contemplating using formula or breast milk, mm-hmm. feel free to contact your local health aid or some other healthcare providers here in Bethel or whoever it is you want to see and talk about these things. You know, make that appointment, but just know that it is super important for moms to be breastfeeding mm-hmm. their children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And then, so we have come a long way from crushing up
scabs.
And inhaling that. And, you know, in addition to that, maybe not as long ago, people would have closed parties, if you will, and try to spread the disease amongst themselves so that their bodies could have what it needed to fight off an infection should they encounter it just out in the general population. And so, I mean, if we fast forward to today, the vaccines that we have really just do the same thing. You know, we have the tools that we need internally to help protect us, if you know, and this is someone who is not an immunocompromised, just we're talking just your regular everyday healthy person. And then so what that vaccine does is it, you know, says it, you have a solution, the vaccine that's being injected, and your body is saying, hey, what is all of this? Who is this? What is coming in? So they develop, your body naturally will develop the antibodies to protect you against a particular disease should you ever come in contact with it. Now, in some cases, and I guess I keep referring to the flu because we've been talking about the flu, not just here this morning, but just out in the public. So while you may have the antibodies that you need, it may not necessarily prevent the flu, but it will definitely lessen the signs and symptoms of the flu, and your body will recognize it once you encounter that virus, and it and internally your system will automatically go to work trying to fight that off and bring you back to a balanced state of health.
Thank you. All right. I think that's about all that I have, at least regarding our topic of discussion today. Is there anything you would like to add before we take off for this Wellness Wednesday?
Okay, well, first and foremost, thank you for having us here, and I say us because we are a team. And just one more reminder to the listeners out there, we will have a free flu clinic at a YK hospital right there in the foyer area in the entryway on December 19th, 20th and 21st each day from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. There's no need to make an appointment. You just come right on in. There'll be a table there and there will be someone there to welcome you and give you your flu shot. And with that, happy holidays to you all.
Thank you, Julie. So one thing I do want to say before we go off is the diabetes department is hosting a diabetes support group here in Bethel from 6 to 7 p.m. at the long-term care center in the gathering room. So this is a opportunity for those that have diabetes or pre-diabetes or have a family member that has pre or diabetes to come and, you know, share your story and hear some of the different ways to help manage diabetes. So if you are interested in participating in this group, feel free to give the diabetes department a call at 543-6133. And with that, that's all I have. Thank you so much for listening and happy holidays.
You are listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. This week, YKHC's diabetes prevention.
Good morning and welcome to Wellness Wednesday, hosted by the YKHC Diabetes Prevention Control Department. My name is Ray Peterson and I am the Outreach Specialist for the Diabetes Prevention Control. I would like to have our Diabetes Prevention Control team members come in and introduce themselves and their role in helping prevent diabetes in our region. So first up we have Elizabeth Tressler.
Thank you, Ray. My name is Elizabeth Tressler. I go by Beth. I am the coordinator for YKHC's Diabetes Prevention and Control Department. We are a grant-funded program through the Special Diabetes Program for Indians, which is a nationwide grant. We are one of 19 grantees in the state of Alaska. Because of the grant, we are able to offer a plethora of services to the region, including clinical services and outreach services. We have a team of staff that includes dietitian, nurses, pharmacists, as well as outreach people. With this group, we are able to offer group medical appointments for patients from the region that have diabetes. We offer case management services to ensure that our clients with diabetes are getting all of the care that is recommended for people with diabetes. We have a support group that happens monthly. We offer diabetes self-management education classes where people can participate in a group and learn about diabetes management. And we also offer various outreach events throughout the region.
Thank you, Beth. So now I'm going to introduce our diabetes pharmacist, Catherine Reynolds.
Hi, this is Catherine Reynolds. I work as a diabetes pharmacist on the team. I review medications for patients with diabetes, prediabetes, and gestational diabetes, and make sure that they're safe and that they're working. I've lived in Bethel for over 4 years, and this is, I'm going into my third year on the team.
And next we have Amber Jones, Diabetes Outreach Specialist for the Diabetes Department.
My name's Amber Jones, and I'm one of the Outreach Specialists in the Diabetes Department. As an Outreach Specialist, I get to travel out to the different villages in our region to give educational presentations and do fun activities with the kids. We also do activities here in Bethel, such as wellness walks, which happen every Monday at noon, and we even do some cooking classes and some other fun activities. If you're interested in getting us to come out to do outreach with your group or community, please give us a call at the diabetes main number, which is 543-6133.
I'd like to introduce Abby Miller, one of our diabetes
case managers and nurses.
My name is Abigail Miller, and I'm a registered nurse. I've been living in Bethel for over 4 years. I've been with the Diabetes Prevention and Control Department since the beginning of 2018. We all wear various hats in our department. Some of the hats I wear, I work as a case manager for people with diabetes, prediabetes, and gestational diabetes. I also work as a clinical diabetes educator providing care here in Bethel and throughout the 58 villages in the YK Delta.
And now we have Rachel Spaulding, our diabetes registered dietitian.
Hi, my name is Rachel Spaulding. I'm a registered dietitian in the diabetes department. I am originally from the Seattle area, and I'm a member of the Siletz Indian tribe on the Oregon coast. I've traveled quite a bit, and I enjoy learning about different cultures, which is what brought me to Bethel in March of this year. I have a passion for helping people improve their health through healthy eating and exercise. My job as a dietitian is I like to do one-on-one appointments with people, which I think a lot of people are afraid to see me because they think, oh, I don't want to see the dietitian because she's going to put me on a diet or she's going to tell me that I can't eat some of my favorite foods. And that is not what I do. I really believe that eating should be an enjoyable experience. And I love to sit down with people and teach them how they can make healthy choices while continuing to eat the foods that they love. So I work at the hospital here in Bethel, and I also do village travel, which I really enjoy doing as well, getting out and meeting people in the community and meeting people face-to-face and in group medical appointments as well. If you would like to come and see me, I would love to sit down with people one-on-one or in a group setting to help teach you about healthy eating.
Now I'd like to bring back Catherine Reynolds to share
general
information
about diabetes.
Diabetes
is a disease when you have high levels of blood sugar, also known as glucose, in the blood over a long period of time. This could be months, years. This high blood sugar or glucose in your blood happens when your body is unable to produce enough insulin.
Thanks for listening to Wellness Wednesdays on KYUK, a show about the health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Catch us every Wednesday at 10 a.m.